Morning, Rabbi Isai. Gemach Simatov, everybody. Just a halacha that I picked up last night when I was looking through. If you're lucky enough to get an aliyah on the Tanis, well, that would only be a question of mincha. You're either the Kohen or Yisrael. So what happens is that the Shliach Tzibur, the Baal Koyah, reads until Shuv Mecharon HaPecho, and then everybody shouts together, Shuv Mecharon HaPecho, Menachem Arol, Yamecho. And the same as later on twice in Shlishi. Once is Hashem Hashem Kerachem V'chanun, and the other time is V'solach Tola V'ineinu L'chatoseinu U'nechaltonu. So, question is, the person, the Tzibur says it first, and the Baal Koyah says it second. After the Tzibur said, Shuv Mecharon HaPecho, then the Baal Koyah says, Shuv Mecharon HaPecho, Menachem Arol, Namecho, carries on lining. What about the person who had the aliyah? When does he say Shuv Mecharon HaPecho, or does he say it at all? Should he keep quiet during Shuv Mecharon HaPecho? Should he say it with the Tzibur?
Yeah.
You think he should say it with the Kol? Or should he say it with the Baal Koyah, or should he not say it at all? You think with the Tzibur. Okay, anybody else? What do you think? Where the person who's got the aliyah, when should he say Shuv Mecharon HaPecho? Or Hashem Hashem Kerach V'chanan? You think with the Baal Koyah. You also think with the Baal Koyah.
When he says the other, when he says the other words as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you say with the Baal Koyah. Okay. So the answers aren't the question's answered with another question. Yeah. The first question that we should be asking is there's an issue to say Dvorim Shebichsav Baal Peh. Things which are written down should not be said Baal Peh. So how come that everybody in the Tzibur is shouting out Shuv Mecharon HaPecho, Hashem Hashem Kerachem V'chanun, V'slach Tola V'neinu L'chatoseinu U'nechaltonu? So there's two heterim, but one is depending on the other. In other words, there's one heter which is that something which is Shogu B'fi HaKol, that everybody knows by heart. Yeah, like Shema, for instance. Everybody knows Shema by heart. So there's no issue whatsoever in saying Shema, not reading it direct from a Chumash. Because Shogu B'fi HaKol, and same other psukim that we say, V'zois HaTorah Shazam Moshe, whatever it is, we say psukim, various psukim during the course of davening. Yeah. Also, we have a heter of saying psukim, yeah, even Baal Peh, if they are derech tefillah. In other words, I'm saying it derech tefillah, I'm not saying it as kriyo, but I'm not reading it as kriyas HaTorah, if you like, as reading psukim, but it is derech tefillah. If it's derech tefillah, and because it's derech, and the answer is that the people who are saying Shuv Mecharon HaPecho, they're saying a tefillah to the Rebbeinu Shlom. They're saying a derech tefillah. They're not lining. They're not the Baal Koyah. They're not lining. They're saying Shuv Mecharon HaPecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, return or go back from your Chas V'Shalom, your Mecharon HaPecho, your anger. And when they're saying Hashem Hashem Kerachem V'Chanon, they're being more the Shloish Esrei Midos Shel Rachamim. So the people who are saying the psukim Baal Peh in the Tzibur, they're davening. You, the person who's standing next to the Baal Koyah, you're having an aliyah, you're supposed to be reading, but he's reading for you. That's fine. But therefore, you're not saying it derech tefillah. You're saying it derech kriyah. And because you're saying it derech kriyah, you have to say it with the Shliach Tzibur. You say it with the Baal Koyah, not with the Tzibur. The Tzibur are saying it derech tefillah. That's the heter why, that's the reason why it's become so popular and everybody knows it by heart. So therefore you've got derech tefillah plus the fact that it's become shogu b'fi HaKol, everybody knows it by heart. And therefore they can say it derech tefillah, Shuv Mecharon HaPecho, Hashem Hashem Kerachem V'Chanon. The Oyla, the person who's got the aliyah, he says it together with the Baal Koyah. Not with the Tzibur, because he's not saying it derech tefillah, he's saying it derech kriyah.
What's the case where you doesn't say together with the Baal Koyah?
Nobody knows that.
It's not a question.
Where's the case where the Oyla does not say together with Baal Koyah? Oh, very good.
That's not Korea.
I know, I'm saying,
but
that person says
it. Northwest London. Thursday, Tzom Gedalia, Gimel Tishri, 25th of September, Rabbi Binyamin Chodi Shlita, Hilchos Arba Minim, part 1 of 2. Today's Torah has been sponsored, Lilian Nishmas, Rabbi Yosef Dov, and Rabbi Shimon Michal, Svi Itzkvist, Zichron Levrocha, devoted founder and organizer of Start Your Day the Torah Way, London, Golders Green.
Amen.
I'm just going to read that. Good morning, everyone.
All right.
Just to start with, be mishtatef in the grace of Tzah of our Yedidenu, Rabbi Yosef Tzdov ben Rabbi Shimon Michal Tzvi, who also unfortunately left us, and he should be made at Tzioshe for his Rebbetzin, for his children, and for Torahway. After such an inspirational Yontif, I'm assuming your Yontif was inspirational as mine, even though perhaps we didn't daven in the same shul. But I'm assuming that because everyone's davening with so much sincerity, so much feeling, so much kavana, we all feel that this is it. This is your moment to shine, to be mavakish on the Rebbeinu Shleidam for Ksiva v'chasima taiva. We're betuchim that the Ksiva was l'taiva, and Be'ez Hashem, the chasima will also be. So I've come here to discuss Hilchos Arba Minim. I'd like to be makdim before I start that the purpose of these shiurim is not to replace a rav. I say that regularly because I very much strongly believe in it, and a person should have a connection to a rav. And particularly in Arba Minim, whenever one has a suffix, like anywhere, any other area in halacha, one has to verify his suffix. And very often, looking up a Mishnah Berurah is not going to verify your suffix, because you're not sure if the case that you're not sure about is the exact case of the Mishnah Berurah, and even the Mishnah Berurah himself might bring a machlokes, and you don't know what you're supposed to do. So what I'm doing here is Be'ez Hashem to guide you when you go to the shop, to know what you're looking for, to know what the nidoinim are. If one be'emes has a suffix about the kashas of the Arba Minim, please go to your Rav. If your Rav is not available, go to another Talmud Chacham. It's a busy time of year for the Rabbonim, so one should respect that as well. And Be'ez Hashem, we're all going to come out on Sukkot, the first day of Yontif, with Mehudarim Dik Arba Minim, to be Yotze, Chiv Deraisa, Matilas Lulav. So the first Shaila, which is a famous Shaila, is when are you supposed to buy your Arba Minim? So the shops are open, and I'm not going to suggest to take money away from the Moichrei Esroi Gimel Lulavim by telling you not to buy your Arba Minim today. I'm not coming to say that. There is definitely a very big Inyan to buy it today, and any other day of Aseres Mechuva. But to just be aware that it's actually a machlokes hapoiskim/achronim. When is the correct time to buy one's lulav in Esrog? So first of all, we have a chai adam in klal kuf mem gimel that tells us that these days of aseres me teshuva ayimei mechila slicha. He says his lashon is va'gadol ha'avoin mi shelo yishav. The biggest avera is somebody who doesn't do tshuva. Ve'ena roya la harbois ba toiro masim toivim v'yom ha'elu mikol yumois hashana. He says the person should take particular care to be marbe ba toiro ba masim toivim. So many want to say, included in the words of the Chai Adam, some of the most obvious mas toiv you can do is go to be kona your arba minim, and you're tilting your scales of la harbois zechuyos al ha'avoinos. So there's a very big inyan to buy your Arba Minim. The Mate Ephraim says so explicitly. The Mate Ephraim at Siman Tov Reish Gimel Sif Hey tells us Zerize Magdimim Liknois Lemestroigim Yofin Mudorim Kva Vaseis Me Tshuva Bekol Ish Lefi Hoine Ve'osho Yichpat Hashem. He tells people that if you can afford it, you should spend well on the mitzvah. And he says that by doing this choshev mitzvah, so he writes that part of the seder of the avodas hayom of the aseres mitshuva is actually to go to the shop and look for nice. I mean, and you're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much
You have chavivas hamitzvahs to do so. So, and he says that after Yom Kippur, you know, you don't know, you can't know if you're going to find nice ones. So, you know, we have stories of Grace and Tzadikim who were mispalel. Hashem Mishmul tells us that the demise of the Tzadikim, it rubs out all the dirt on their shoregim. Meaning, had they not cried on Yom Kippur, then on Motz Yom Kippur, they may have got a dirty yasrog. Now they've cried on Yom Kippur and pulled out the hearts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in that zuchus, the zoicha to find a beautiful, clean esrog. So obviously these are madrigas, and ashrek chelgecha, if you can say that about yourself. So yes, there is an inyan to, if one has azar bitachen, to boitech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that as a result of his sincere davening on Yom Kippur, he'll be zoicha to beautiful abominim, then matov manoim. However, according to the Matei Ephraim, according to the Chayodam, one should buy before. However, the other side of the coin is that the Rambam tells us, and Be'etzem La'aloch Lamaisa, it's a Joshua's Chasam Sofer, who says one should deliberately only buy after Yontif, after Yom Kippur, and based on a Medrash, the Medrash tells us that the reason why the first day of Sukkot is called Yom Rishon, Cheshbon Avinus, is because we haven't done anything wrong until now. And he says that we come out of the Nitzchiyon of Yom Kippur with the proud medal holders, so to speak, with Alulav and Asroigim. The Lulav in Triberian times was a replication of their Nitzchiyon Badin. So that's what they used to do. So we do the same. So according to the Medrash Tanchuma and the Chasam Sofer, the correct time is really after Yom Kippur. So it's a machlokes, and therefore, usually we say it's a machlokes, whatever you do, you're not wrong. The understanding why you shouldn't go with the Matei Ephraim is that the Rambam's Loshen, to be machriya your zechuyos over your avinus, he says, do teshuva. So what does do teshuva mean? Teshuva means the seder of teshuva. Doing a mitzvah that has nothing to do with teshuva, who says that works to be, and there's a whole Eimei Bracha to explain that. On Rosh Hashanah, it's decided how many zechuyos and avinus you have. So whatever's done is done. So now, if you want to be masakin that from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, it's not going to be enough just to do another Maisa Mitzvah, because your Maisa Mitzvahs were decided last year, that you're half-half. The only way to get around it is by doing Mitzvah of Tshuva. That's Avodah Sayyim. So based on the Rambam, we can say they won't help you to buy your Abominim, Jairus and Tshuva, and be Machriya Lekav Zuchus, because it's just another Maisa Mitzvah, it has to be done with Tshuva. So that's the background. So again, as I said before, I'm not telling you what to do. If one really has a suffix, then one should ask thereof. You know, is it best to wait? Some people are mechalitin lulav and esrog. Some achronim that suggest that an esrog one should buy now, and the lulav because it's the pre of the nitzchiyon that you should wait until after. So many people will be buying esrogim now, but they won't be buying lulavim. So that's the answer to that shaila. Now I'd like to discuss mainly hilchos lulav today. Simply because in the Seder of the Shulchan Aruch, it speaks about lulav first. We know that a lulav is made up of two parts. The drisha on the Torah speaks out that a lulav should not be like an arrow, meaning that the leaves should not be attached to the shedra. Derech giduloi, the way a lulav grows, is that its leaves are separate to its shedra. So you have a spine, which is defined as the shedra, which is treated in halacha as the guf, the body of the lulav. And you have these lovely, nice leaves growing off it. The Ramah tells us that it's a mitzvah min ha-muvcha, that they shouldn't be ferudos, they shouldn't be separate. It's a machlekes acharonim, how to interpret the words of the Ramah. According to the Taz, the Ramah just means that the lulav should not be dangling down your lulav, which is very rare to find the lulav that the leaves dangle down, especially when you're anyway going to be tying your lulav with the lulav rings, so it's anyway not going to be dangling down b'shas the mitzvah. So according to the Taz, it's kemat not shayach to be makayim to be mekayim the Ramah. It's very, very simple, straightforward halacha. However, others mention the Mishnah Berurah, the Mamar Matzchah, the Bekri Yaakov. They say the Ramah zemina. The Ramah means that the leaves should be shechuvos zeh al zeh. They should be resting on the shidra, and that's a hiddul. That's a hiddul in the giddul of my lulav. Good lechayra to point out at this stage that the inyan of the Shaar Tshuva mentions that one should have a straight lulav. One's lulav, ideally as a hiddul, should not be bent at all. We'll discuss a bit later kashrus and paslus of a bent lulav, but ideally a person should be looking for a straight lulav. It is a hiddul in its giddul. However, if it's not entirely straight, you can see the leeway that the Taz says, the leaves are coming slightly off it. There's another point that one, when one shakes the lulav, the leaves should become slightly separated. So the closer the leaves are to each other when you buy it, the more of a kiyam hamitzah you do with the nanuim, by shaking it, that you separate the leaves very, very slightly. So that's what one should be looking out for. Very important. I have never seen anybody standing in an Arba Minim shop with a tape measure. Perhaps people should, because the Arba Minim, the lulav, has to be a certain size, has to be a certain length. The shear of a lulav is 4 tfachim. When we say a shear of a lulav, we do not mean it from bottom to top. That's a massive mistake to make. Bottom to top is not, is much, it should be much bigger than the shear of a lulav. The shear of a lulav is defined by the most bottom section that your hadassim and aravos end up going against, i.e. by the shidra, the bottom of the spine area. And the top of the lulav, in relevance to the four tefachim, actually terminate at the highest part of the shidra. Yeah? Which is just where, if you look where your hadassim and aravos, it's one tefach above that. So if you look carefully at your lulav, you put your hadassim and aravos near the bottom, but not literally mamish at the bottom. That's where you put your kashikul, slightly higher than the bottom.
What defines that?
Sorry?
How can one
the leaves start separating from each other, that's where your kashikul should be placed. Your hadassim and aravos will be 3 tefachim, and above that should be another tefach of shidra. So you have to be careful when you buy them. People think, you know, if I buy a compact lulav, it'll be easy to transport. So in a way, it's actually, you have to be very, very careful that there's the right size. So what? How big is this? So classically, we know that a Reb Chaim Noah Tefach is 8 centimeters and a Chazon Ish is just under 10 centimeters, 9.6 to be slightly more precise. And therefore, because we're talking about deraisas, Lekat Hemba Yom Rishon is a deraisa, so there's definitely mokim to be machmeh for getting a nice long lulav. So just to be aware of that, we're looking, it's important that it should be long as opposed to short. If it is short, then check that it's the right size. That is the size and the shape of the actual lulav.
Is there a reason why the hadassim and aravos can't go to the bottom in line with the bottom of the...
Because it's not really defined in halacha as the lulav itself. The lulav only really starts where my leaves are connected to the shedra. Below that is just chizuk, so to speak. It's just being mechazik. The guf halulav really starts at the shedra. Doesn't start further down than that.
The lowest leaf
will
start right at the bottom.
Huh?
The lowest leaf will start right at the bottom.
So I'm not with you.
No, I did try to bring a lulav here, but no one has them yet. So you'll see on your lulav, you don't put the kashikul mamish at the bottom. There's a bit sticking out. That's all I mean.
Yeah, but why?
Because it doesn't start yet. If you look at the body of your lulav, the mokon where the leaves start to separate from the body of the shedra in halacha, that's defined as the bottom of the lulav. But when they're all one, it's not the lulav yet.
So you put the measurement from the bottom, from the first leaf.
That's right. Just where the bottom leaf is attached to the shedra. Yeah. It's not very far up. Maybe 10 centimeters maximum. Point number 2. So the next shaila is nechukat yomis. So nechukat yomis is where you have a split in your halacha lemaisa, it's your middle leaf. That's the one we'll focus on now. Which basically means if there's a split in my middle leaf, which is where you start taking your lulav apart very slightly in the shop, and you have to be really, really careful because it's very, very easy to pass the lulav. But you do have to check, on the other hand, it's not nechlika, so you have to be very, very careful. And if you're not sure how to do it, then take it to, there's usually a rov present in the shop. If there isn't, there isn't. But be careful, but you have to make sure the middle leaf is not split. Metzah min al-mufcha is that it shouldn't be split at all, which literally means at all, so completely, completely, completely closed. However, according to the Taz, as long as you're one tefach from the top, which is quite a lot, then you're fine. And we haven't got time to discuss the reasons for this, but it's based on a Gemara. However, the Chayodom writes that the shear is a mashu, a tiny amount. Kiv'ega basically also sides with the Chayodom. He says that if your nail would sit in it, we know where you could put a nail something in, like on a paper, and it just sits in there, then that would be completely fine, no problem at all. If it's slightly more than that, then Rav Kiv'ega says it's tailor on the two reasons why a lulav would be problematic if it's not exactly fully attached, either because it's not hodah. So if it's not hodah, then I can't really obviously see it. I can't see it with my naked eye, which is where the big debate comes from, how close is a person choyev to go. So the Mishnah Berurah brings a famous Mabit in Chelek Gimel Siman Mentes, where the Mabit says that the idea of hodah is something that you hold and you can see it with your eye. Does it look good? Does it not look good? If it doesn't look good, then that's difficult to notice. So according to Mabit, you have much more leeway. However, Rabbi Yashiv is the first that they quote to be more makpid on looking at it very closely. And you will see many people looking at things very closely. And that's based on the idea that there might be another problem of lekicha tama. It might not be a complete taking. If there's something missing in the essence of my lulav, it might not be actually defined as a lulav anymore for at least day one. The chesaron of lekicha tama, a complete lekicha as opposed to a lacking lekicha, is only a problem on the first day of Yontif. The problem of hadah is a problem the whole Yontif. That's a Mefurash HaTosis, the beginning of Perek Lulav HaGozel. So there's two reasons that Achronim give for Nechlekra Tiyomis. Is it a Chesaron of Hodah? And therefore, if you can't obviously tell, then it wouldn't be so much of a problem. Or is it a problem of Lekicha Tama? In which case, there's more Mokim to say that if you've got the tiny amount missing, like the Chayodom says, and like Rikvega has a Tzad to say, there would be a problem with that.
What's the shit, that nail? So yeah. Fingernail to
my
screw nail?
No, your fingernail.
Fingernail? Like you cut the fingernail?
Yeah, in a chanami. So, yeah, so you will see. You will see. No, it means an average nail. It doesn't mean like a long nail. So if you look at your nail, you'll see there's a bit of a gap between your skin and your nail. So if it's like, if when I put my nail over it, I still see more chasa, then according to Kivega, that's a problem. If you put the leaf in between the nail and the skin, and it covers it, then according to Kivega, there's no problem at all.
No problem.
If it's within that shear, you're fine. It's only if it doesn't cover the hole, then you have a problem. If you still notice your lulav leaf is split, even after you've already gone and put your nail there, then Kivega says that it's tied on the two reasons. But you have a taz anyway that says a tefach, so, and you might passel it by doing that. Yeah, so these are just litmus tests, but it's not necessarily the right thing to do to start taking your nail and putting it on top there, right? Correct. If your tiyomes, I personally have never seen such a lulav. If your tiyomes is lower than the rest of your leaves, then it's fine. There's no halacha that your middle leaf has to be higher up. Usually they are, 99% of them, it will be higher. There's no such condition. So if it happens to be lower and it's a beautiful lulav, then don't get cold feet, you're welcome to still buy it. The other shaila is if one of your two tiyomes leaves, one is taller than the other. And even if it might be nikah that it grew like that. There is a shaila. And they say that Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yasha both held that if you can obviously see that one leaf is higher than the other of your two of your tiyomes, then they said that if you can tell, it is considered chosa, and therefore one should check that the two leaves are symmetrically as long as each other. If you have a double tiyomes, which many of you may have come across, then you need to make sure that both your two tiyomes are not nechleka, and the same shiurim, same halachas apply to each one individually. You can't say, my left or right one is no problem, so the right one can be a bit shorter. It doesn't work like that. I personally have never actually seen one, but people do tell me that they have seen, so you have to look out for it. And some people just say, I'll buy an aleph lulav that's ready in the packet, so obviously it has already been checked. But one isn't guaranteed through the course of transfer that nothing's happened to it. Therefore, l'chayra, it is slightly better to look through yourself through the piles, but it will take time. But as we said before, from the chayadam, that the more you're mahadar in looking for them, the more it's actually a chelek of your hachana for the mitzvah. So, on the other hand, the ones in the pre-packed are actually more expensive. So there's two sides to the coin. Maybe it's better to spend more money than to spend time looking. And even after I look, there might be things wrong with it. So these are all nidonim that a person can make a personal decision on. If your tiyomes is patched in with kore, with the growth, that the brown stuff that grows there, right? What do you say?
Chaff.
Whatever it's called in English, I'm not sure. Yeah. If it's covered in it, so it is nechlekah tiyomes, you can see it's nechlekah, but it's been filled in. So there's not actually any airspace there. So that's a din in the achronim, whether or not that is a problem. And there are gedolei achronim who say it's fine. So the minhag sfad, by the way, is not to take off your korah. Because you're likely to puzzle it by removing it. The Menag Ashkenaz, generally speaking, I'd be mavar with Talmud Chachamim, is to remove it. They say the Chazon Ish was very makfid to remove Korah. Apparently, the way it's written is that he was only makfid on it after he heard that in Brisk they would be machmeh. Meaning, before he heard about Brisk, the Chazon Ish himself was actually makel, and I think he heard that in Brisk they were makfid, and he was chayzer to agree with them. The stipler was very, very makbid about korah. He used to take it all off. So one isn't guaranteed that everything is fine if one buys a little with korah, because underneath it might be problematic.
Isn't there a rosh who says that you should keep it as a ma'arim or something?
No, the rosh is talking about when it's bent. He's not talking about when it's got korah on it.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, don't be sorry. The Bikur Yaakov discusses nanuim. He says that if you have korah on it, then you're not going to be able to shake it properly because the leaves will just stay attached. And with nanuim, the leaves are actually supposed to slightly separate from each other. So there's another issue here with nanuim, which is actually a chelek of the essence of the mitzvah. So ideally, one's lulav should not be full with korah. A little bit is not a problem, but if one has a suffix, if it's nechlak tiyomis or not, then it is better to avoid it, although it won't be possible. There's an interesting shaila if you're allowed to stick your nechlak tiyomis with glue. So I can see it's nechlakah, but it's a beautiful lulav. Nothing else wrong with it. Am I allowed to just buy it and stick it together with a bit of glue? So it's a din in achrayim. Some say that's not really considered part of your lulav. Glue is glue. Glue is not a lulav. You know, mechtesa. But there's a shtickle of the Das Torah, Shalom Shvadron. He says it's okay. He says it's okay to do that. However, they say Reb Chaim Kanievsky held that it doesn't help. So again,
if you use glue, where's the limit? What other parts just to find, can be fixed? Can I put the piton back with glue?
Oh. It's a very, very good question. And the answer is Pasha's no. But that's very different, though. Because Nechak Tiyomes, my lulav be'etzem, is a lulav. I just, my leaves are split. I'm not trying to make a non-existent lulav into a lulav. We'll discuss it in the next Hashem, but a pitten that comes off might not be an estrig anymore. In which case, if I put glue, if I stick it back together, I haven't done anything. You can't go from ayin to yesh with a sticker, right? If I've got something missing, if I got like a lack of hidzah, for example, I can say, it looks nice now. Right? I can mend the problem of hodah by gluing it. I can't mend choseh by doing it. So that's an interesting shaila. And some achronim taka hold it's okay. So that's your nechka tiyomis. If your tiyomis is dry, then there's a raivad brought in the Mishnah Berurah that says it's a problem. And the Ritva understands the raivad, even if it's a tiny amount, it will also be problematic. However, the Chaznish explained that the raivad is only referring to if together with other leaves, you end up with roiv of your lulav leaves being dry. So once you've got the Chaznish, then it's almost impossible. Very, very rare for my lulav to have a psul of being dry. Dry meaning that it's lost its original colour. It's going to be very rare. It'll be more relevant for your arovas, potentially. They might be completely dry out. Niktam. So your top leaf, before we discuss nechlaka, now we're not discussing nechlaka, so my two leaves are very nicely attached to each other, but there's a slight snip on the top of my top leaf. So the Mishnah Berurah brings the Vilna Gaon, who's very machmeh. He says even a koshu will be a problem. If there's a double tiyomis, this is where it gets very interesting, and it's very unclear why. But the Achronim are masupuk. The Mishnah Berurah basically sides that niktam on a double, meaning one out of two, is actually more lenient than nechlakatia. Nechlakatia, as we said before, they both have to be completely attached. By niktam, for some reason, and the Chaznish is bothered by what's the chiluk. So there's obviously some lomdish difference to explain the difference, but the Mishnah Berurah sides, they actually might be fine if one tiyomis is snipped and the other one is whole. It might actually be, you're talking that it's kosher. So that's interesting. You have a slight leeway on that point. How much is a kosher? This is the same shaila again. The Achronim say, by the way, that if one has another option of another lulav there and then one should not. One should always be picking another lulav, right? Instead, this is only like aftermath that you've noticed it and you already bought it and it's going to be a whole issue. So then we rely and say it's kosher until you've got roiv of your shedra being snipped. But the ideal spitz mehuda is that it should not be the maximum should be it basically shouldn't exist. But if it does exist, so we have the same rikvege again that says it's toilon if the psul is hada, the psul is a kichatama, and you have a bit more leeway if the chsaron is hada. So if you look at it and you can't see it snipped, then but lechayra I'm thinking that a lulav goes to a fine point at the top. It'll be much harder. It'll be very, very hard, I think, not to see it. You can see the shape of the lulav leaf. It's a bit wide at the top as opposed to pointy. Then you've already noticed that it must be niktam. Why is it not pointy at the top? Right? So to go and tell me that it's not near line, and by the way, when you pick it up for your mitzvah, let's say in the shop, I was very careful to stand very far away from my lulav. So when I pick it up, I can only see it at a distance. Oh yeah, it looks fine. Then you take it for your mitzvah, and now all of a sudden your eyes are close up to it. You got a problem because you've noticed it now, right? So one thinks one can't try and be shticky by holding one's esrog far away from him, and then when you pick it up closer to you another time, so it's a bit risky to buy it like that. So it's better to be. And Rabbi Yashiv was very machmir about using the glass, the loop. He said, as long as you would be, you can see it, even if you need a magnifying glass, it's still considered niktam. Same as with the estrogim, still considered the other black spot, and therefore it is definitely better to be mahadur on this if one can. Um, if one of my two leaves are niktam, one of them is snipped, the other one is fine. So again, this is a machlokes, and many paiskim are mekel. Kor Yaakov, the Chazanish, says no problem. The Kaf HaChaim is machmeh, he says it's possible, but it's actually miyat achronim saying that it's a problem. So you've got Kor Yaakov and the Chazanish both saying you're okay. So if that pops up, obviously check with the Rav, but there's definitely mokum for a leeway. There's another halacha called nistak. Nistak means where my one more minute. Okay. So just to say over a few final halachas. Nistak means if it's split, so it looks like two. My two lulav leaves of my tiomas completely go like different, pointing in different directions, and that's a problem. A bent lulav, if it's bent forwards, meaning towards me, that's a problem, because not derech adulai. If it's bent, if it's bent in the plane of my shadra, obviously my shadra is a bit of a hair, it's bent in this plane, then it's fine. That it's not going to be possible. However, we did say earlier that there's a mile that the Shach Tshuva says it's better to buy, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes very clearly to be makbid on this, that it should be as much straight as you can. So you see everyone lifting up the lulavim and seeing that it's nice like a sharvet. So there's an inyan to do that. If the leaves are bent, be'etzem ikar din, it's kosher. The Shulchan Aruch says it's kosher, which is based on a rosh. The rosh says that he actually preferred to take a lulav where the tiyomis is slightly bent because he's guaranteed that it's not nechlekar. Yeah. If you can see that, how will it have been split if the top is still slightly bent? However, if roiv of my leaves are bent, then there's already a dian. But the machaber tells us that roiv pashas on machaber's mashma that. And by the way, when I say bent, I mean more like a hanger shape, like it loops over. So even that would be kosher. I wish you hatzlacha in buying a kosher lulav.
Thanks for adding hatzlacha. I was getting a bit nervous now.
Also, I think we've started from the collection.
Okay, look at that.